Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk A70. As always, you can contact myself, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and the radio station for working to make this happen. John, how are things going with you?
Well, looking forward to the Home and Garden Show.
Yes, definitely. You're going to need to make an appearance there today. And we have with lucky to have with us in the studio, missed him last week, Mr. Tom Coyne with Sterling Bank is back. Tom, welcome back.
Hey, thank you. Sorry I missed you last week. I had the crud. I was thinking I was going to skate on by. Everyone around me was getting sick, and it caught up with me.
Well, that happens sometimes, but I'm glad you took care of it. And we thought we'd almost miss you again. We appreciate it. I know that today you've got a booth down at the Home and Garden Show.
Yep.
So I know you're going to be jetting out here right after as fast as you can to get back down there.
Yeah, we're going to get back down to the Home Show. Anyone has any questions on home financing, come find me at the Sterling Bank booth at the Home Show.
Fantastic. And we talked to Jeff Losey about that last week, and you're there. It is open there right now till I believe 8 o'clock tonight. So full day of entertainment down there. That's cheap entertainment.
It really is. Bring the whole family.
I know we do. My wife usually kills me because it being in that industry and knowing those folks, what should take me a couple hours takes most half the day by the time I stop and talk to everybody.
Well, every third table, you know somebody,
well,
right?
Well, that's what we like to do. So I'm going to have to see if Karen, I can drag her down there with me again or go twice. Mm-hmm. And there's so much to see. Great vendors. Just reminder to everybody, like we talked about last week, Home and Garden Show at the track in Pasco right now, and it's such a great facility for it because you've got the outdoor areas. It's just wonderful. I've been to some of the other regional Home and Garden shows, and they just don't compare. So please swing down there and check it out today.
Yeah, and a little perk to our listeners. First person who finds me at the Home and Garden Show today and mentions they heard me on the radio is going to get a little surprise, little gift.
Okay, I love it. Tom Coyne, Sterling Bank booth. You heard him on the radio today. Find him, chat with him there, and for the first person to do that, he's got a special little gift.
So will I get it if I follow you out there?
Maybe I'll have a separate gift for you.
A separate gift for John.
No, we know how it works in the radio business. Employees and relatives are not eligible.
There should be an asterisk in there somewhere, right?
Yeah.
You've got it. Well, we skipped last week. We were so busy with guests and stuff. We have missed out on our national celebrity news story. And it looks like this week I thought I'd pick a great one to bring in. And even though after several Grammys and 8 multi-platinum albums and some of the top grossing hits in music, even those artists can have a little bit of some financial issues. And it looks like Mary J. Blige has joined that group of people.
Whoop.
Tax lien for about $901,000 was slapped on a New Jersey residence that she has for sale on the market. So they were reporting on Zillow.com that she's also being sued by Bank of America for not paying a back loan from 2002. And there is definitely some problems there. But this house does not have any problems. If you go to Zillow.com and click over to their blog, you can see this house they have for sale. And they are slashing the prices on this to try to raise some cash by getting a quick sale. It was listed for sale since 2011, originally listed at $14 million, and dropped down to about $12.5 million. Now, note on a house of that size, property taxes alone run about $100,000 a year.
Wow.
So you're running, you're running $8,000-$9,000 a month just in property taxes. Plus, from the looks of this thing, it's 18,000 square feet. You got to heat it, have running water in
there. Incredible maintenance.
Incredible amount of maintenance. It was reported, another blog recently reported that they did pay cash for that home when it was bought. And like I say, the pictures are amazing. It's like a French chateau, indoor basketball court, movie theater. It's incredible. Sounds like, though, they need to get rid of that, raise a little cash, and get a sale there. Now, we always like to follow that up with the back to reality local real estate news story that we have going on. So kind of a great report this week. You might have seen, as reported, Tri-City Herald reported, other people at the meeting had told me about Planning Commission for Richland issued kind of its annual 2012 recap report to the city council this week, showing a lot of what we talk about on the show and already know. Vast majority of their growth in the city of Richland coming in that South Richland corridor. They reported 265 permits were issued for single-family construction, and 196 of those were in South Richland.
Well, that's really the only real. I grew up in North Richland, and that's about as far out as you can go.
Yeah, that's really right. You do have some development there off of the bypass, and some of that ground's expanded a little bit, and then a little bit as you inch towards Horn Rapids. So there are some other areas, but South Richland is really the growth corridor right now. Commercial construction, they reported, down a little bit over 2011, 49 projects in 12 versus 59 in 2011. So down a little bit, but even though down in commercial, up in residential, and that includes multifamily units out there. So 95 million permitted last year in residential building in Richland versus a 7-year average of only 67 million. So really healthy residential market going on in that South Richland corridor out there. And I noticed, too, they just broke ground. You've got the Vintner Square, Queensgate area out there by Gold's Gym, Target, and I noticed they were moving dirt this week on sign was up for a new HAPO out there. And then, of course, you know, across the street, a new sign magically popped up for Giza. So South Richland Corridor residents, the banking is on its way as fast as they can build it.
You know, between HAPO and Giza and Cadillac and KGH,
there's growth.
The competition between those two is incredible.
It is. And so a lot of growth out there in that South Richland corridor. A lot of great homes out there on the market. One of them is going to be in our pick three. If you like the sounds of what you hear out there, I can put you within walking distance this week to some of that development with a phenomenal house. We'll talk about that right after the break with our pick three. So one of the things I wanted to talk about, we always take what's happening in the market right now, what's going on in real estate right now, and how does that relate to our show topic? Well, the biggest thing that's going on right now is putting on amazing amounts of inventory, because our spring market is here now, and I can say that. What happens a lot of times in the Tri-Cities, and if you've been through the real estate markets over the years and you start to kind of see these trends and stuff that develop, if there is not snow and ice in January and there's not snow and ice on the ground, we tend to start our spring market very early, usually a month or a month and a half earlier than normal. And this is really backed up again this year by data. Our numbers were out for January home sales from the Tri-City Association of Realtors, and this is the highest number of under contract homes we've had in a January since the home buyer tax credit in 2010.
Wow.
Which inflated it naturally. So great January. Over 55 more under contracts in January over last year, and 70 more than there were in 2011. So super excited about that. So there was no snow, there was no ice, there was no crazy weather. We were able to get out there, do our jobs, and get people in houses usually a month and a half or 2 months earlier than we normally would have. So because of that, we have an early spring market, and I'm talking about power listing in this market. What do you need to do to get your house ready and get it sold? And there's a number of different approaches you can take to this, but a lot of times, the one thing that I caution people is selling a house is not generally an easy thing to do for most people. For some people, yes, comes naturally. Their house always looks like Martha Stewart. We all know somebody like this, you know, and so we all know two or three people like this. And for some of those folks, yes, it is easy. For the vast majority of people we see, though, it is not easy. Yes, definitely calling me is the first step, and we would love to come out and talking to a real estate agent and getting some ideas is the first step. But you need to be prepared that after that, it's going to get way harder. Like, the call to me is going to be the easiest part of the whole thing, probably. So what we do is we kind of set people up for what is the best possible things that you could be doing. And this is what we're doing right now. I mean, we have just been jam-packed with that early spring market. I'm doing as many of these evaluations as I possibly can throughout the week to help people to be ready to list in the coming weeks. One thing I get really excited about this time of year is just the inventory. The choices of the homes coming up for the buyers is fantastic. I've been in so many great homes that they're cleaning up right now that I can't wait every week for the pick three in the next couple of weeks because this is go time for real estate. So one of the things I wrote down a couple tips that people need to know about, and they asked me, how do you come up with the pricing? What are we looking at? Well, when I come to your house, I'm looking at four things: price, condition, your location, and the marketing that I'm going to be able to do for your house. That's where I'm breaking it down upon. And so the hardest one that people always come up with is price. The location one, don't worry about it. We can't move your house, so it's going to be what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm going to factor that in. Sometimes we can move your house, but it's very rare that we can do that. So location, we can't do much about it. But the big one is price, is where am I going to be at? Can I afford that new house? One of the things I like to do is I have people pretend that you are a buyer. And it's really hard with your own home because it's hard to be unemotional about it. You're in it every day. You sit down. I mean, Tom, I mean, you love your house, right?
Absolutely.
Probably more than anybody else that I can think of right now.
I would hope so.
Okay, great. That's a problem, okay, when it comes time to sell. It's great right now that you're living there, but it becomes a problem. So my job is to come in unemotionally, look at your house, take the notes, look at the amenities and what you have to offer, and then pretend I'm a buyer in that price range. This is what I do all day long, and we see buyers. We hear what buyers say about houses. And then pretend I'm a buyer. What are the other five or six homes that are going to be comparable? And this is much like an appraiser, except for I have the advantage of knowing what the buyers are saying right now. The appraiser might have more statistical data, but I know real life what the buyers are saying when they're in the car with us when we're going through these homes and we see these trends. So then comparing it to the next five or six homes that have recently sold and are on the market right now. Let's go look at those five or six and then decide what is going to make your house better than those. And getting to that price point, getting into that range where it's going to be better enough that it decides somebody puts pen to paper and writes an offer on that house. And so that is really kind of a big thing that we do when we're really looking at power listing. We're really looking at pricing to do that. Because the MLS system, it's bigger than ever. Every website, every realtor constantly monitoring what's out there. House I just put on the market this week in South Richland, within 2 days, have been emailed to 84 agents and already over 30 clients.
Wow.
In 2 days. So once we hit that MLS system, once we hit all of the websites that we propagate the listing on, there is information out there and people are viewing it. Once, if we're priced in the pocket where we're right, that's going to generate a large number of showings quickly. It's really become a more transparent system than ever before. So having that information correct when you start into it is a huge, huge, huge advantage for you as a seller. So knowing that information up front is big. That's one of the biggest things that we're working on and doing right now. And that's what helps us get the price right. We're going to talk after the break a little bit about what the buyers need to be doing with Tom at Sterling so that they're ready to buy these houses. And then after that, we're going to have a pick three. We're going to have three amazing properties, brand new inventory this week. And we're going to wrap up with talking about condition. That's where the work part comes into it that you don't want to hear about. But it can make a huge, huge difference. We'll do that after the break.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about power listing in the spring market, what you need to do to get the house priced, get it out there. We're obviously seeing the numbers that are getting reported to us right now are really on pace for a fantastic year. No snow, no ice, great weather, great real estate market, still low interest rates. So we need to talk with Tom. Like I said, we go local. And we talk about what has happened in our business in the last couple months, and then we bring those topics to the show because that's real life. That's where we're at. We're right here in the Tri-Cities. And I'll tell you what, Tom, I heard about some guy, you know, that had, with a couple weeks ago, had gotten a pre-approval letter. It wasn't with you, but had gotten a pre-approval letter, and then he'd gone and got a new car before closing. And it messed up, and, you know, we've talked about it on the show. And over the years, I've had people do new cars. The worst thing, too, is I always tell people, well, you're going to talk about this stuff. You're going to say what not to do. But I'm just throwing out the car one. We're going to turn it over to you. What do people need to know about this buying process if they want to buy this spring?
You know, a lot of this stuff, Lance, to me and you, it just seems like common sense. But sometimes it's important to take a step back and realize that not everyone does this kind of stuff every day.
They don't. Yeah, they might do it once every 6-7 years.
Exactly. So that's why I want to talk about this and kind of point out the do's and don'ts in regards to your mortgage when you're getting ready to buy a house. So we'll go over the do's first. So this may sound really elementary, but make your payments on time. Lenders really want to see 12 months clean payment history, not a single 30, 60, 90-day late. Now, maybe we're 10 or 15 days late. Maybe they even charge you a late fee after that 15 days. But it likely didn't get reported to your credit until after you hit that 30-day mark. So it's really important to not have any late payments over 30 days because that's going to reduce the credit score and really affect what programs someone could qualify for, what their interest rates would be, what maybe the mortgage insurance is. So really important, make your payments on time. The next thing you want to do is try to reduce credit card balances to 50% or less. Now, we talked about this a few weeks back on the show. I was talking about the things that make up credit, but we'll just touch on it again. When your score or when your balance on your credit cards get above 50%, you're going to see your credit score start going down. So right now, maybe someone's making extra payments trying to pay off an auto loan, and if they're trying to get up their credit score, that's not going to give them the biggest bang for the buck. So try to reduce the credit balances on credit cards under 50%, under 30%. I mean, the lower you get, the better.
Gotcha.
So the next thing is you want to do is get your mortgage first if you have some other financial obligations coming up. Maybe you're planning on getting a new car like you talked about, or you needed to get some new appliances and you were going to go get a store credit card to do that. Get your mortgage first. Getting those new accounts before the mortgage can hurt you in two ways. One is that company had to pull the credit, so there's going to be a new inquiry on your credit report, which can bring down your credit scores. The second would be a new account can hurt your credit because it doesn't have a whole lot of history to it. So get your mortgage first. Once you have that secured up, then go out and get these other obligations you need to fulfill.
And now let's clarify there because I don't want there to be any confusion. You said get your mortgage, meaning you have it, not like you have a pre-approval letter and your mortgage broker said, this looks great. We're now going to head to closing. We're talking about funded, closed.
You're in your house.
For the house.
You're in the house. You've moved in. The house is yours.
Mm-hmm. Better to go a week without a new refrigerator and using a cooler than not to have a house to put the refrigerator in.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm right there with you.
Okay, next thing you want to do is try to increase the size of your down payment. So maybe you're in the next month or so you want to be buying, and if you could save up a little bit more money for a down payment, you're just going to be far better off. When you're tucking that money in savings, I would definitely not recommend going out and using that money and buying stocks thinking you're going to turn a quick profit and increase it even more because it could go the other way, of course, and now you have less money to put down. So consider a money market account, something less volatile, something that's going to give you a reasonable rate of return. Of course, Sterling has 5 branches in the Tri-Cities. I'd be happy to get you in line with one of our bankers that can talk to you about some secure accounts that you can help build that savings in.
Perfect.
Okay, so those are the do's. So I want to get onto the don't list, and I know Lance has kind of just touched on some of this, but let's say you went in, you got pre-approved, okay, everything's good to go, and you're out looking for a house. These are the things you don't want to do in that time period. The first is don't make any major car purchase or don't make any major purchases at all. So this could be a new car, this could be appliances, this could be you just went and put $5,000 on a credit card. Anything that you do to your credit could affect your credit scores. So certainly you want to discuss with me through the loan process what this could affect your credit and what the impacts could be. But you don't want to have any major purchases because that could raise your debt to income and maybe you're not going to get the same loan program or not even be able to get approved at all. The next thing you don't want to do is just get pre-qualified. To get pre-qualified, a borrower just gives their debts they have, their income, and they just voluntarily give this to the lender, and we'll run some quick numbers and say, yeah, it looks like based off of what you've told me, you'll be able to get qualified. You don't want to do that. You want to get pre-approved. I would absolutely never give out a pre-approval letter or pre-qualification letter if I've only done the qualified process. You want to do a full pre-approval. That's the lender pulling your credit, checking pay stubs, W-2s, and doing a full approval before you ever start looking for a home. So you don't want to just think that a pre-qualification is going to give you enough knowledge to know what to expect on the mortgage. Get the full pre-approval process out of the way, and that way you know exactly what to expect on the mortgage, and you know you are qualified. This one just came up, this next don't. I had a client who, right before closing, we have to do what's called a verification of employment. So literally the day of closing, we call their employer and verify, is this person still working there? So we call, do our verification, and sure enough, my client is not working there any longer. So this is kind of surprise on the day of closing. So I call the client and find out that they actually changed employers halfway through the loan process, and they didn't think we needed to know.
And that happens because they don't do this all the time.
Exactly.
And more than likely at their new job, they could have been making even more money at their new job, but that affects you.
See, in this scenario, we didn't know, did he get fired? Is he not working anymore?
You don't know at that point.
We had no idea.
Yeah, too late. Yeah.
So needless to say, this slowed the loan process down. It didn't close that day. And what this, how this affected the client was that we had to pay for a lock extension, in which they had to incur that cost. So when you don't close on the lock expiration that we set and we don't close by then and you got to extend the rate, I mean, there's costs associated with doing that.
Yeah, and just, I mean, this happens a lot. I've had, that's so funny, that scenario you give has come up, you know, 10, 20 times over the years with us. And most of the time what happens is why the client doesn't mention it is, yeah, they're making more money at their new job, and so they figure it would do nothing but help them. But when they don't mention it, yeah, and then they have old numbers they call. The biggest thing, like you said, is that, you know, you were able to adapt, still get it closed, which is fantastic, but you do miss deadlines sometimes.
Absolutely. You know, and when I'm working with a client, I'm on their team. And
yeah.
So I really like to have that open communication. Let me know exactly what's going on, and I'll help you walk through the process and find the best way to get around things like that. So
yeah, fantastic.
Okay, the last thing you don't want to do is close or open or transfer any of your asset accounts. So these are your checking and savings accounts. It can become a real hassle to try to paper trail funds moving around. So we'll look at a bank statement and any out of the ordinary deposits, we have to document and paper trail where those are come from. This is industry standard, and it's one of the biggest struggles we have. So when someone opens a new account and transfers it over, that can become a problem for both us and the client. And it just gives them more work because they're having to run around and create this paper trail for us to be able to fulfill the loan requirements.
Those are great, great tips, Tom. I appreciate it. Unfortunately, I've seen every one of those on the good side and the bad side.
Yep.
And appreciate you bringing that up for people that might not know. What tends to happen on days like today when we have so much information is sometimes we shortchange the best part. So before the end of the show, I know we're going to talk about condition and some things you can do. But more importantly, I want to talk about our pick three. These are the houses that I was talking about, new inventory on the market. I won't make you wait any longer. I'll talk about the South Richland one first that we talked about. 937 Saron Avenue. This is a 5-bedroom, 3-bath house. right off of Keene out there, right around that Queensgate development. Built in 94, this house is 3,464 square feet. It's a rambler with a basement, so you get the master on the main and all kind of the modern layout that you like, with the benefits of having game room downstairs and just fantastic basement, so you can take all the noisy kids, shove them down there with teenagers, and still be peaceful on the main level. Beautiful, beautiful setting. Backs up to a current orchard right now. And this house is priced. We just put this house on the market at $279,900. And I'll remind you, that was 3,400 square feet. We're talking $80 a square foot for a 90s house in South Richland. This is the deal that's in South Richland. Oh, did I mention RV parking on the side? I don't think so, but it is hard to find. So fantastic, fantastic home. They've done newer carpet. They've repainted. It is in just amazing condition. So I'd love to show that to somebody this weekend. Once again, that was 937 Saron Avenue, just off of Keene and Kennedy in South Richland. Fantastic new listing. We expect that one to be very, very busy. Second, pick number two. We're going over to Pasco, 4004 Galway Lane. This is a three-bedroom, two-bath with a two-car garage. Built in 2005 and on a corner lot. So it's got a fantastic front yard, beautiful setting. This house is priced at $137,000. Fenced backyard and extra parking beside the house. So this is one of those houses you've been sitting in the apartment, you've been paying the apartment rent, and you're ready to buy before rates start to go up anymore. You're really at a major, major low to where you can probably get into this home for less than you've been paying for apartment rent. We'd love to put you with Tom and get a look at that. But that's 4004 Galway, just off of Massey. That's right off of Road 100. Fantastic, fantastic location and very quick to get on the freeway. So another one, great, either downsized, first-time home buyer, investment, lot of options for people mm-hmm. with that house, and it's in great condition. Another fantastic property that we have, this is an estate sale that we recently put on the market. It is a three-bedroom, two-bath home, 1522 square feet, and this is 3808 South Cascade. And this house is just fantastic. They've gone in. They've totally redone the kitchen, and then they added a huge covered patio in the back. This sits on just shy of a half acre. It's 0.41 of an acre lot in South Kennewick out there, 3808 South Cascade, and this house is priced at $150,000. Super clean, big lot, big yard, lots of room. Great neighborhood out there and priced at $150,000. Clean, clean house. Totally remodeled kitchen, new cabinets. You're just not going to find that big of a lot for that price. And so this is some of that spring inventory, spring market that we're looking at that we're super, super excited about. So lots to go look at. To wrap up, the last item that we haven't talked about real quick is condition. And how difficult it can be when you decide to sell. Because you do, most people have to live in their house while they're selling it. And I realize that that can be a tough experience. There's some things you can do now to help with that. We've had guests on the show. We've talked about the mobile storage units. We've talked about the storage units that they drop off at your house. Mm-hmm. That then you pack full over the course of a week or 2 weeks. Because a lot of people don't want to do the driving or the hauling. You know, I met with folks this week that said, well, gosh, I don't really have a big truck, you know, and it's a pain to rent it and then drive down to the storage unit. No problem. We'll call our friend Dean Jackson at Larson. He drives in with his trailer. He's going to drop the storage unit at the base of the driveway. You're going to pack it up for a week or 2 weeks or until your homeowners association gets pissed off and tells you to move it. However long you can get away with it, you know, then you pack it full over that week or 2 weeks. You don't have to make 30 trips. And then he comes back and he loads it up and takes it down and stores it for you. So that's one way to solve that problem. But as much stuff as we can get out of a house to make it look bigger, we're trying to make a house look spacious. I can show you a 1,500-square-foot house that looks and feels like it's 18, and I can show you a 1,500-square-foot house that feels like it's 1,000 because of the stuff in it. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to buy the one that feels bigger. So it is a lot of work, but you kind of are weighing, okay, what's my storage cost for 3 or 4 months versus carrying cost of keeping the house over that same 3 or 4 months and really doing a financial analysis to where you come out on. We're way out of time today because everything, there's so much to talk about.
Always so much
and
fun,
so you need to get down to the Home and Garden Show, Tom. And we need to go show some houses, and John's going to kick us off the air shortly anyway, or start charging us way more than my allotted time.
Yeah, so. Just a reminder, anyone going out to the home show, come by and see me. First person to say they heard me on the radio will get a little prize.
Fantastic.
There
we'll
you go.
Be there. We'll be there this weekend. Please come out, say hi, and take a look at everything. And as always, we'll be right back here next week.
On New Talk 870.